Welcome to episode 85 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In this episode, Katie and I are talking about Rachel Hollis's personal development book called Girl, Wash Your Face. If you haven't heard of this book yet, crawl out of the rock that you're hiding under because this book is everywhere and everyone's talking about it. So, Katie and I are going to be giving our review of the book and the documentary movie that she just released in theaters for two special showings. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
All right, Katie, if there's one thing that people should know about us, is that we heart personal development.
What was your first personal development book? I need to think about this.
I definitely remember mine because it changed my world, like literally. My first book was Goals by Brian Tracy. Actually, I take this back. I would say Chalene Johnson, like through exercise, learning Chalene Johnson, because she would weave personal development into her classes. And that's how I learned about Brian Tracy. And then his was the first real book that I read. And it completely changed my trajectory.
Yeah, I think mine was 30 Day Push. And then I think the first actual book I read was No Excuses by Brian Tracy.
I think I read that one too. And by the way, side conversation, you were trying to read a book a month. How has that been going?
By read, I mean audiobook. So it was going well, but I did get a little bit stuck because I got into some books that were super long, like 12 hours on audio. Like, I don't know. I'd imagine that's a really thick book. So I got into Grit by Angela Duckworth, and it was good. But it was very sciencey, and so I found myself not being able to listen to it. Like, I listen to my books before and after work because I'm in the car, and I found myself needing to listen to awful radio instead because it was more mindless. So I've been listening to a lot more podcasts now, and I need to get back into books. But I have listened to probably 5 or 6, so I'm not too far off from my goal.
But you definitely should have stopped listening to Grit. Because that's my book theory, is like, if you don't like the book, and this goes for Girl, Wash Your Face too. If you don't like Girl, Wash Your Face, like, don't finish it. Like, release yourself from it. Because if you don't like it, like, the book's probably not going to get better.
Yeah, that's what happened to me 2 months ago, is I couldn't get into it. So I stopped listening to it. And then I downloaded another book called Shift Happens by some guy Oprah recommended. And again, I couldn't get into it. So I'm like abandoning all Audible. But I'm verbally committing. I'm going to go back.
Okay, so let's talk about Girl, Wash Your Face. Full disclosure, I have not finished the book. And I think that's telling because I am like a huge reader. And like I'm a huge reader except for like I don't have a lot of time to read now. And I'm not prioritizing it because I'm reading other things and, yes, listening to podcasts. So I haven't finished the book. That's what I'm trying to say.
What was it about the book that you couldn't get into?
I mean, I liked it, but I want to still finish it. It's not that I like couldn't get into it. It's just that I want to be able to sit down and just really read it. And I feel like I haven't had that time. I'm in a very like busy season right now. And so I'm blaming it on that. But I still am like, if I really loved this, I think I would have just like powered through it, because I have talked to other people that are like, oh my gosh, I read it overnight. Like, I read it in one sitting. So I'm like, well, wait, why? So I should have done this before the podcast, but I didn't. I need to just sit down and start reading it, and maybe I'll just like fall in love with it. So I will update you guys again on when I start reading it, if I just kind of slide down the slide. But I did go see the documentary with Katie, which we'll get into in a second. But first, what did you think about the actual book, Katie?
I listened to the book on Audible, and number one, she read the book, which for me, when the author reads the book, it is so much more interesting. Like, you can just hear the passion and the energy kind of exuding from their voice. So I really liked that. The book itself, I thought it was a pretty easy listen. And what I liked about it is that it was very much her story. And so while it wasn't a, what do they call those? Autobiography? Biography was in someone else writes it. Autobiographies about yourself, right? Anyways, it was about her. And so I always like hearing other people's stories, and just especially when they're super successful, like how did you get to where you were, right? Because you know that they weren't just born into it like the Kardashians. So I really liked that part.
I totally agree. I love hearing about people's stories, and I love hearing how people have kind of like navigated the waters. And I love that she has like four kids. And also, one of the things that just blows my mind is that she's huge right now, but she's been around for a little while, but it's like nobody knew about her until like, whoa, this book.
So I really like that about her is that she has been around for a long time. She was actually a food blogger before. And so I kind of connected with that piece of it. Parts of the book, I felt like, I don't want this to come off the wrong way. And I kind of felt this about the documentary too, that it was almost kind of surfacey. I think I've been reading and listening to personal development books for about 8 years now. And it's all the same stuff, right? Which is why I like to re-listen to it. But some of it was kind of surfacey and I kind of wanted more, if that makes sense.
I totally agree with you. From the documentary, I loved all of her points. But like one thing she said in the documentary was, you should be drinking more water. And it's like, oh my gosh, how many times have I heard that? And so I loved her message, like, and her message is very female empowerment, which I love. And also her message was like, just go do it. And I honestly think we need that message every single day. So whether or not she went deep into that message or not, which I think she did go pretty deep there, it's like, we just need to hear these things on repeat. So it like did kind of bug me that some of it was surfacey, but at the same time, I like got a ton out of it.
Yeah, the water thing, and I don't know, maybe this is because I'm a dietitian. Anytime they talk about nutrition and stuff, I'm kind of like, well, duh, come on, people, duh, get that together. And then I have to remind myself, well, probably not everybody she's speaking to are super into fitness and nutrition. And so other people actually do need to hear that message. So yes, I agree. A lot of her messages we really need to hear on repeat, but some of it was, okay, well, give me more. Like, I was expecting to be bawling after this movie. And I did tear up a little bit, but, like, no tears fell.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so let's get into, like, our favorite parts about the documentary. And let's start this off by saying, what was our favorite moment in the documentary? Oh, and background story on this documentary. So she has a conference that she just started. It's only gone for 2 years. So they had one in 2017 and 2018. So they made this documentary based on the 2018 conference. So I said this in the middle of the movie to Katie. I was like, is this like a 2-hour promo? Because it was literally like just about the documentary, or it was just about the conference and like really made you want to go. So it did work. But so it really was highlighting like what she teaches in the conference. But let's talk about what our favorite moment of the documentary / conference was.
One, the fact that I feel like she's still kind of new and that this theater was sold out in two movie theaters in Indianapolis, two separate nights. So to me, just like stepping into a movie theater, knowing that, oh my gosh, all these people are like me, kind of freaked me out, but in the most awesome way. And I wanted to like engage in the conference that was happening on TV or on the movie, but I couldn't. So that kind of bugged me. My favorite part about the documentary was when she had everybody write a letter to themselves about like writing to themselves from the mindset of the persistence that they've been at. So that's on my to-do list, to write a letter to myself, basically like having this moment of recognizing all the success that you've had and taking a time to just like be in that moment of all you've accomplished.
Yeah. And recognizing everything that you've been through and like the valley, the hills, the valleys that you've gone through and like how amazing it is that you're still here. And I think when we interview people on podcasts, like that sometimes like you can see it in their eyes that they've never heard themselves tell their story. So when they do tell it, they're like, wow, like I've done some hard shit. Like this is cool. And I mean, I felt that being interviewed for, you know, or just talking about myself, which I'm very good at, and ultimately recognizing like how far you've come.
Right. So for me to, yeah, see that in other people, that was pretty empowering. What was your favorite part? I know what you're going to say because it was really my favorite part, but I knew you were going to say it. So I didn't say it, but go ahead.
I hijacked Katie's favorite part because I told her what I was going to say. So my favorite part and probably the best part of the conference was she had this list of questions, and they were really, really tough questions of like statements.
They were statements.
They were statements on it. True or false statements, right? So one of them was like, I've lost a parent. True or false?
Like yes or no?
Yes or no, whatever. We've only seen this documentary once. Okay, so like, I've lost a parent. I've lost a child. I hate my body. So the hate your body one is the one I want to talk about because she went into depth on this one. So what you did was you filled out these questions anonymously. Then you folded it up and they had you pass it like forward, right, back, forward, like all around the room. So like your paper was in someone else's hand. You had no clue where it went. And what they did was they had you opened up the paper that you got and you would stand up when they read the statement. So when it said, I've been raped, you would stand up for that individual. So around the room, you were able to see the people that have gone through that hardship, yet you weren't the one that was having to like actually do the standing up for your own truths. So anyway, 90%, and I made that up, but like a whole heck of a lot of people stood up for the statement, I hate my body. And like, whoa.
I think they called it stand up for my sister. But the statement wasn't, I dislike parts of my body. I hate parts of my body. I am uncomfortable. It was, I hate my body. Like, that is the saddest thing ever.
Yeah. And I was in the car with some old friends this weekend for 5 hours. So we were talking about everything. And I told them this thing. And they asked me, like, would you stand up for that? And I thought about it. And, like, it was pretty easy for me to say no. I would not stand up for I hate my body. Like, if it would have been, do I want to change parts about my body? I would be like, yeah. But I also have, like, been focusing on my body image, like, intensely for years. So it's like I've already kind of done the work there. But I wanted to ask you, Katie, like, honestly, would you have stood up for that for your own self?
No, because I mean, we talk about this all the time. Like, there's so many other great, amazing things that our bodies do that how could you hate? That is such a strong word. And hearing her talk about Rachel Hollis talk about this and just like how she was so moved, I really appreciate her authenticity. Like, I feel like if you were to just walk up around the street, she's the exact same hot mess express, but also can get it together kind of woman that you would expect.
Yeah, I loved her hot mess express like moments in the documentary. Like she's like kind of like a reddish head, like kind of. And so she's like a little bit pale. So there were times that like her face was like super flushed. And I loved that because I feel like if it would have been someone else, like a Chalene Johnson, like they would have had like the makeup would have been there, like whatever. But I did love that about her.
Another thing I really liked is how the conference was broken up. So the first day was all about embracing your past. And then the second day, which it sounds like she kind of evolved this from trial and error, the second day was to kind of figure out, okay, this is what I've gone through. This is what has happened. I can't change it. It is part of who I am. These scars are there. So how do I actually move on from that? And Lauren, what were some of your biggest takeaway or like key point and messages from both day one and day two of her conference?
My biggest takeaway for the first day was that I had to like pat myself on the back because I have come to terms with the things that I have gone through and the things that I needed to work through in my past. Like, and thankfully from Chalene Johnson. I mean, Chalene's a huge proponent of therapy and I've like dealt with all that stuff. So like, honestly, if I was at the Made for More conference, like maybe something else would have come up, but I highly doubt it. Like, I really feel like I have come to terms with my past. So that was my takeaway for the first day. My takeaway for this from the second day was kind of a kick in the pants, which I think that was like one of her big things is to like to kick people in the pants. But I have a lot of excuses right now, and some of them are actual legitimate excuses, and some of them aren't good excuses. So I think I really am in a spot where I need a kick in the pants and a reminder, like a friendly, aggressive reminder that like I can do more. What about you?
A couple things that stuck out to me was her saying that you can do all these things, but you can't do them all at once. I constantly need that reminder that, okay, Katie, you're not going to teach all the fitness classes and grow a private practice at the same time. Something's got to give. And so that reminder and that reassurance of taking things off my plate and being okay with that is very helpful. So that was one thing. Another thing that really stuck out to me was she said something along the lines, I forgot to look up the quote, but no one can say how big you can dream. So I've definitely been in a spot this, I mean, always, but this past year of kind of those self-limiting beliefs of, well, no, that's too far. No, that's not going to happen. Like, okay, maybe one day, okay, they come back to reality in my head. And I go back and forth with, right, what's realistic and what's, how far do you push yourself? What'd you think about that?
I mean, I love that message. And I came home and wrote my goals out the next morning because I wanted to talk about this because it's a weird spot for me to be in. Writing out my goals is really hard right now because, you know, if you're a goal writer, you sit down and you write like the first five goals that like you always write, whether or not you've progressed or not, like you know of like what you're after. So a lot of what I've been after has been like being able to stay at home, but still teach group fitness, but be making money online so I'm contributing to my family and to like feel good, financially stable, and et cetera. And like I was thinking of all of these things that I generally write, and I'm like, honestly, I have met a lot of the goals that I have been after for years. And I had to have a moment where I was like, wow, like what else do I want? And so I'm struggling with writing my goals because of two things. Because I don't know where else I can push myself, but still like maintaining like the like low key life that I love right now. And also David has a huge part of like my goals because he's, you know, my partner in life. So he doesn't really know like what his next step is with his career and stuff. So I'm like, well, I'm kind of at like a standstill with that. And I need to work through that because I don't want him to like get in the way of my goal writing. And I also definitely agree with what you said earlier where it's like you can't do it all at one time. And so when I'm writing out my goals, I'm like, oh, I want to be a stay-at-home mom, but I also want to run a multimedia company like Rachel Hollis. It's like, no, those things can't happen at the same time. Like literally, there's not enough hours in the day. And that's okay.
Right. And going along with that, she also said something about setting aside 1 hour a day to build your dream. And I always tell myself, yeah, I'll work on your business 1 hour a day. But when she rephrases it to 1 hour a day to build your dream, like when you compare 1 hour to the dreams that you have, like, oh, come on. It's like, girl, wash your face. You can do this. And so I really like that.
Yeah, I love that too. One thing she said was like to do a huge brain dump and to like break your goal down and schedule it out. And I was like, okay, we know this. But once again, it was a good reminder.
There were definitely a couple times where we turned to each other and we're like, yeah, it's called a push goal. Yeah, it's called reverse engineering. Yeah, brain dump. Like we already had these terms, but it is interesting hearing someone else explain it in their system in just a different way.
I also thought, like, because the stuff was so familiar to me, I'm like, oh, we should be teaching this. And I'm like, oh, wait, we have a podcast. Like, that's why we, you know, we still love, like, those type of motivational things. But we've been in this space that it's like, you're not going to hear something, like, brand spanking new when you've been doing this for 10 years. Also, I'm old.
And on that note, I am old and ready for bed. For me, I guess the biggest takeaways and action steps I got from the documentary and the book, it's been a little while since I've listened to the book, so the documentary was a good refresh, but I told myself to set my goals and pick just one. So just one focus right now that's going to take more of my attention than everything else and not let all the other goals stress me out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think like we've done this process before of choosing one goal, but just remembering that like you need to have one focus, because if you're focusing on too many things, like nothing's going to move. So you really need to have just like that one singular focus to get anything really accomplished.
We hope you found this recap interesting. It was like your Cliff Notes version of Girl Wash Your Face. But if you're interested, you can get obviously the hardback book at any of your bookstores. You can buy it on Amazon, Kindle. There's actually an app called Overdrive that you can use to rent the book from your local library, rent it on your phone. Wow, technology. So be sure to check it out and let us know what you guys think. We would love to hear your thoughts, your biggest takeaways, and what book you're going to listen to or read next.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.